You are listening to Fanthatrax.
Powered by Fanthatrax.com. It's the Fanther from down under.
David Senden ist ein wunderbarer Podcaster und ein riesiger Star Wars-Fan. David Senden est un merveilleux podcasteur, un grand fan de Star Wars.
G'day folks, how you going? This is the Fanther from Down Under live on Fanthatrax Radio. Your host tonight, of course, for the Fanther from Down Under, the Mandalicious Detour, episode number 54, as we look at Mandalorian. For a bit of a detour as we're looking at Han Solo, we're looking at episode 2 tonight that just came out on season 2, and we're going to get right into it with, of course, David B. Senden. Buddy, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Let me just tell you right here, right now, right up front. Fans, I know how you get, but you may not like me after this episode because guess what? I have a lot to say about it.
Well, let's get off the bat first, guys. David B. Senden's one of the most long-time running podcasters. And just generally in the fandom, one of the most positive people out there. Somebody who puts in every day his effort to, you know, put it out there that Star Wars fandom is fun and everyone can be a part of it.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars fandom is fun until, Twitter starts lighting it up.
Very true. So before we get into the Mando, tell us a little bit about what you do with podcasting and obviously what sort of sections of Star Wars that you cover.
Well, you know, what I do basically with my shows is I do them very much like, George used to do his movies. I record a piece here, a piece there, whether it's a piece with you, whether it's, stuff with my co-host, Kyle Wagner, whether it's with other rotating co-hosts, because I kind of made my network as a, whoever, wherever sort of thing. Anyone can fit in that space, so there's no one person in there. And then I sort of edit things together. Yes, it's laborious, it's time-consuming, but it gets around the fact that time zones are not a podcaster's friend.
No, they're not. But the end product is really, when you come down to it, folks, one of the most polished and, let's just say, entertaining podcasts out there.
Yes, and I've got other shows that I put out on the same channel, Marvelcast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast, which I do with Mark Carolman. That may have its first spinoff. Which will be covering WandaVision streaming on Disney Plus, I believe, at the end of December, programmed after Mando Season 2 finishes up. And that will be The Witch and the Robot. Explain that one. Because, let's be honest, anyone who knows the relationship between Wanda and Vision... Yeah, Disney, good luck explaining that one.
What I really enjoyed doing, now this is a bit of a detour here, folks, but talking about Disney Plus is I've been not only looking at the Star Wars and Marvel content, I've been sort of jumping into looking at the National Geographic stuff they've got on there too. Lawrence Fishburne is doing a series in there called A Million Years, and it's A Million Years Ahead, and it's looking at not only life now, but life ahead and life in between with artificial intelligence and stuff like that. Tell you what, Star Wars fans, there's some stuff in there worth checking out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So let's get into the meat and potatoes. Well, I think last week had more meat and potatoes.
Well, let's talk about last week first, because, I mean, that was a bit of...
I will say this. It definitely, last week, if you're annoyed that Dune was pulled a whole other year... Watch last week's episode, you'll kind of feel a little bit better.
So, as I've mentioned, I've got a bit of mixed feelings about the first episode. I thought it was a bit of a play by numbers. It was, look, I'll give you this. It was entertaining. It was great to see Cobb Vanth from the Aftermath books in there as this Marshal of Mos Pelgo, and he's great in it. I've got to say, Tim's not my favourite actor, but he really got into this and played it well. This is a Marshall that's different than his character from Deadwood, different from Justified, and he's playing it kind of like a more honourable sort of an officer because he's willing to help people.
Yes, and well, I think he, it, between Deadwood, Justified, and last week's episode,
mm-hmm.
I think he is getting a little typecast.
As the law officer, yes. I tell you what, I really liked him in Once Upon a Time
just
in...
Just a smidge. Yep. He's starting to fall into that, well, not so much Harrison, but he's starting to fall into that Mark, Carrie, and Harrison mode of being really typecast after Star Wars.
Oh, definitely. Look, I've got to say something about Tim is that he is able to play other characters, unlike other actors. Like, if you look at as far back as 2000 in the movie Go, he played a drug dealer in that. And then he did a little movie not a lot of people have seen called A Man Apart, where he played this really cheeky drug trafficker, and he out-acted Vin Diesel big time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I agree. And, by the way, when I saw him in that armor and spoiler alert, folks, it's been a week. If you haven't seen it, you know, it's probably...
Oh, too bad. It's too late.
Your problem, not ours.
Yeah.
But Tim in that armor looks like... when I first saw it, I'm like, wait a minute. What is Sheriff Woody wearing a Fred smock from Scooby-Doo doing in here?
It was like, for me, it was like a very, very good Boba Fett cosplay that was kind of not built for the character.
It was like a knockoff Boba Fett cosplay, one of those figures that you get secondhand at like Goodwill.
Oh, definitely. But what I did like too is when he comes into the saloon and he's about to chat to Din Djarin, he goes, "Hey, Weequay, two spatchkas." Just the way he says it, like it's like he's being lived in that universe. That's the best part of it, I think. The other part that I really enjoyed was the sign language with the Tusken Raiders. We're starting to see a little bit more than just the Tuskens being out in the Outer Rim, sitting on the side and basically hunting prey. What they're out there doing is actually kind of a culture part for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at last week's episode. It's kind of a weird microcosm for somebody very familiar. And people triggered, if you are, you're not going to like this, but tough. I tell you the same thing on my shows. But here's the thing. Last week's episode, I'm like, gee, two different indigenous people working together to accomplish something, and yet they don't like each other at all. Now, Adam, let me ask you, does this apply to anything in 2020, like, at all?
Oh, yeah, big time. I think the thing is, too, is that it's played in such a way that the Mandalorian can see through it, and still be able to react to any culture. It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah, and I love how Mando just uses his flamethrower to cut through the bullshit.
He did. Now, of course, the end of the episode is a bit of a nod to something that I love, obviously. It's a bit of a nod to Dune. I mean, it was even in the original Star Wars where you saw the bones of the animal itself when R2 and C-3PO walking through the sand dunes. So it's always been a nod. But I think the thing is, it was done tastefully.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, Star Wars in general... Look, I have not been a fan of using the old desert planet trope.
Yeah.
Especially when your original movie stays on there for an hour and 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At least The Force Awakens had the decency to be off a desert in what, the first 40?
Oh, yeah, totally. No, look,
It's I mean, I believe it's 40 minutes, right? It's barely an hour into that movie that you're on a desert.
Yeah, I'll give it this too. It's nice to, even though we know we're back in Tatooine, and we were in the first season as well, but in this one, they're willing to try different parts of Tatooine. So Mos Pelgo, we've never been there.
Yeah, and honestly, though, see, again, I'm going to say something people aren't going to like, but, you know, tough toenails. You know, that seems to be the motto for people these days anyway, but that's all in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, doing that with something, with a planet familiar, I'm like, I just roll my eyes and I'm like, okay, really why I'm, you know, you start becoming a bit of a Tatooine brat by doing that. But, you know, I'm just like, okay, if you're going to do the desert thing, which is fine, do it with something different. This is why I actually, after watching last week's episode, got a lot more respect for The Force Awakens than initially, because initially I was like looking at Jakku going, okay, you couldn't change the color of the sand one bit.
Mm. No, I think one of the things too is that you look at,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, you know, I've said it before. I think one of the more interesting things is when they do that and change the sand of things. Crate was a good example. I mean, there's some interesting designs in that trilogy, but Crate having that red topsoil definitely changed, I think, the atmospheres and feels of things. And I think...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely something that was different. Now, overall, I think that there was a great entry episode. I just think, for me, I wanted a bit more progression, but we got that in this new episode to a point, and I think...
And also, a few other points to bring up. The pearl they find.
Isn't that a Kyber pearl?
I don't believe it's a Kyber pearl. I know a Kyber pearl, almost that pill.
Pill.
Shows how early it is.
That'd be a hell of a pill.
Yeah, shows how early it is. That'd be one hell of a pill to digest. Mm. Take 1,000 years, maybe. But I don't think it's a Kyber pearl, but it's actually a really, really deep cut to Knights of the Old Republic.
The old KOTOR, right?
Yeah, the old KOTOR. And, you know, mate, I see stuff like that and I'm like, oh yeah, little things like that over time, they're definitely going to do some stuff with KOTOR eventually.
Oh, it's such a big universe. I think they're going to tap into just about every era eventually. And it's only early days. It's only been a few years. You know, it's only been 5 years with, more than 5 years, but 5 years of live action stuff with them. So we've got a long ways to go yet. But I think,
yeah,
look.
We can't gloss over, I know it's your show, but it's also me. We can't gloss over the one big thing, Boba Fett, which with his amazing mythos piece esque Octo Luke Skywalker stare.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that's interesting about Tem, obviously Temuera's back, folks, is that, yeah, he's playing Boba. We know that because on IMDb.com it's in there. And we know it's Boba. He's after his armor. But what's interesting.
Come on, IMDb.com, they're not exactly something to give credit to.
No, but I'll say this, folks. If you've got him, that makes it interesting later on that we know we've got Rosario Dawson on the way playing sometime later in the season, obviously Ahsoka Tano. I think we're going to see him also play Rex later. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, if you've got him, use him.
Well, but here's the thing. I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone assumes Boba because it showed the armor.
Yeah.
Okay? But there's nothing saying it is.
No, that's right. This could be Rex.
There's literally nothing saying it is. This could be exactly what you're saying. This could easily be Rex monitoring the situation, and then he turns back and he's walking back toward Ahsoka. And the only reason I say that is, remember that that piece of concept art Dave Filoni tweeted?
Yeah, and it looked very similar. The look was very similar to that.
Yeah, the look is quite similar to what Tim is wearing in the little, what is it, 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm going to Zoolander it, by the way, a very sort of Morrison Steel.
You know, and it was interesting because we're used to Rex having the beard now.
You can have that one, by the way. You can have that one. Go ahead and hashtag it, Morrison Steel.
Nice. What's interesting about that is, though, that we're sort of used to seeing him have that beard, because we thought Rex was in Return of the Jedi. You know how they sort of shoehorn that in there. That's not canon, folks. I mean, that's just an idea. But, you know, the fact that we know...
I believe it was an idea that... and just because he says the idea of all the canon heads take him seriously, which, by the way, another totally different discussion, but the canon heads are exactly why the Lego Holiday Special scares the living daylights out of me.
Well, you know that's canon.
But, dude, you're proving my point. The canon heads' minds are going to explode.
Well, this is true. This is true. Obviously, that you know, it's a very open sort of ending. It's nice. It's a nice little cliffhanger. But I'm just looking at, like, overall, I think that episode sort of opened up, gave that flavour that we knew from the first season, that Western lone gunslinger feel, a little bit of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And it was good to bring us back into it, I think.
Do you think they'll come back to that, though?
I think they will.
I mean, maybe the end of the season, but I think that's going to be more a season 3 thing.
Yeah.
And I say that based on Favreau's... And believe me, after season 8 of the show, I kind of hate to hear Favreau say this like Al, comparing it to Game of Thrones. I'm like, oh, dear God, no. Are you going to give it a brand? No!
So, in this episode... There is Pedro Pascal playing the Mandalorian. This is episode 2, folks. Chapter 10 it is. So chapter 10, The Passenger. 6th of November 2020. Director Peyton Reed. Writers John Favreau, etc. So it's just giving us a general cast here, because I can tell you this cast is not in this episode. So Pedro is, but then it's saying Sasha Banks, Gina Carano, Giancarlo Esposito, Kyle Pasek, and Carl Weathers.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. My overall impression of this episode, it felt like a really weird Land of the Lost episode with a creature feature of the week, which is basically taken from, it's live action, of course, but taken from that ridiculous chopper base arc in Star Wars Rebels. Just absolutely ridiculous.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, look, and I know fans are screaming right now that I'm on and talking like this, but let me tell you something. If it's concept art, great. And I know it's Ralph McQuarrie, and we all love Ralph, because, you know, George could have done whatever the hell he wanted. But if it wasn't for Ralph, guess what? None of it would have worked at all, okay? So I get that. But let me just say, and we're seeing it today as well, right? If it's concept, then 99% of the time, that means it wasn't good enough to be used.
True.
I'm sorry, fans have to live with that reality. If it's concept, it means 99% of the time it wasn't good enough to be used in the final film or product.
That's true. Now, what's interesting is this film obviously opens up, this episode opens up on Tatooine again. Obviously, he's getting his ship fixed and, you know, he's trying to find out more information about where to find the Mandalorians. And obviously catches up with that mechanic, and she sort of sets him on his path with a new thing in the passenger.
Now let's not gloss over, though, when he gets hijacked and the speeder gets jacked up, right? I gotta ask you, what were those SAW's partisans?
Probably,
because the one that had the child at. By the way, the child walking, I'm sorry, just looks like him running to Mando.
Yeah.
Him walking down the ramp the first time we went back to Tatooine with that little mechanic that kind of reminds me of Jabo from Clone Wars. I'm like, oh, God. No, nothing should remind me of Jabo. But the child running to the Mandalorian, I'm sorry. I don't. He looks almost. It almost looks like a very silly animated moment.
Yeah, it looks a little awkward, doesn't it?
Yeah, like a very silly animated moment. It's one of those things where, look, I love the child. I'm not calling it what everybody else is because, guess what? The show's not, okay? But I love the child. But I will say this. That moment right there when he's running to Mando, I'm sorry, it would be like if you had, you know, Yoda walking in broad daylight and he was not on Dagobah.
Yeah.
It worked better when it was a dimly lit setting and you couldn't see the fact that it was a fake puppy you were looking at.
Yeah, that's very true, isn't it?
Yeah. But going back to my partisan question, when you look at the alien who has the child at basically a knife in his throat, right?
Yeah.
That alien looks like he was in Saw's partisan group.
Yeah, true, isn't it?
And given where this is set,
mm-hmm.
I really wouldn't be surprised if, because 5 years after Jedi, this is effectively, what, 20 plus after Rogue One?
Mm-hmm.
So this obviously would be the group that escaped from Jedi.
Yeah.
And just took root in another desert world.
That's true. Now, what's interesting, obviously, one of the gags there is that he has to give up his jetpack to, you know, one of the people holding up, obviously, the child. And it's one of the best gags.
I thought that was actually kind of funny. I'm like, could we have more of that?
And did you notice that the sound they used was very prequel-sounding jet when it landed, when it came down? Maybe even a bit of Iron Man jet.
Yeah, although I kind of feel like anything very Iron Man-like would have been John last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it was very Iron Man-like, and I hate the fact that that's John whispering in the pin's ear.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm just like, good Lord.
Now, one of the great things about this is obviously we get to see a completely different environment. As you mentioned, there's no point in them staying on a sand planet for the rest of that episode.
Yeah,
and
we got to see Ilum, not Ilum.
Yeah, and what's great about this is we get a nice little, obviously he gets stopped by two X-Wings, which we'll talk about in a sec, who is in those X-Wings, because it's a lot of fun. But what's great about it is we got to see them.
Yeah, and did you notice, hang on, did you notice one particular thing?
What, Dave Filoni?
Dave only had one line where he had to be extremely bored.
Yeah, I did see that. That's true.
Now, who was the other guy, though? That wasn't Peyton, was it?
No, that's somebody completely different. I think an actor that's got a TV show, comedy show over in the States right now.
I've seen Peyton Reed. That guy is way too skinny.
Yeah, but what I like about those two is that they're sort of, they're not the people that would be, not the kind of X-Wing pilots that would be, you know, running the, you know, the gauntlet at Death Star and stuff like that. These are the sort of your run-of-the-mill sentry troops that are out there keeping the zones clear.
Right, yeah. And 5 years after the Empire falls, you would expect that at this point.
Definitely. And what I liked about it, too, was that, you know, they are obviously, you know, checking out, hey, what's this ship? Looks really old, gunship, whatever it is. Razorcrest raised a few alarms to him. But also at the same time, the Mando was honourable, as he is. You know, this is the way. You know, it's he didn't lie to them, but at the same time, he wasn't about ready to give his ship up to the New Republic.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Every time I see his ship, right, I can't help but think the Space Winnebago from Spaceballs.
It does look like it. It looks like that. And,
I'm like, oh, dear God, Mel Brooks would be so proud.
But it also looks a little bit like the Serenity.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I'm sorry. I'll get into the child moments in a little bit. But one thing I hated was when he looked back at the space toilet. I'm like, oh, God. I thought this is why we left the EU. Weren't people throwing shit fits over refreshers?
True. Yeah, that makes sense.
But at the same time, you know, I don't care who it is. Regular people in Star Wars, aliens, Mandalorians, whatever. You gotta shit.
For everything in one location. Daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds. Bookmark BanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
Now, obviously, they take on a passenger, and that passenger has their line. Basically, it's a character that an alien that has fertilized eggs to carry on their family line, and obviously it's a last as well, so it's very rare, and they have to safely get from where they are through subspace. So it's dangerous for the Mandalorian. He's obviously already hunted, and this is one of the reasons that he was not willing at first to take the job. But at the same time too, we've got a gags with the child trying to get hold of these eggs because he just keeps randomly eating stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was I go back to last week where you used him better because of his sort of off camera expressions and hiding in the spittoon.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, for such a dry planet like Tatooine, that better be a clean spittoon, or that's pretty mean for the child.
Yeah,
But that's another matter altogether. But here. I'm sorry, those moments last week were cute, but here, the moments with the child were just irritating as hell.
Yeah, true. And what's interesting in this one is that he's the instigator of half the stuff. Like, obviously, when he bites into those Macquarie spider's eggs, and then he disrupts the whole
thing. When that whole attack is going on, I remember thinking, because I watched the episode about it, 45 minutes ago, but I remember thinking, kid, aren't you useful at all?
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of kids obviously are in that way, but this is a 50-year-old child with the Force, and I think, you know, oh, surely he senses things.
I would tend to agree with you, but when he started eating everything, especially that spider egg, I'm like, man, if you sense everything, you're pretty dumb at doing that.
Yeah. Now, also, what's interesting about this bit is that beautiful chase through the clouds of this planet, and it's done in such a way. Kind of the only film that reminded me of this sort of chase was Chris Nolan's Interstellar. Not one of my favorite movies, but there's a similar scene where they're trying to get through it.
Yeah, not really one of my favorites. I was thinking Independence Day.
Yeah, there's a bit of that in that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, granted, this is a whole other topic for me, but after this year, I tried to think as less Nolan as I can.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting, too, is that scene, we got to see the X-Wings doing something that's, I think, a little bit like one of the scenes in, was it Rogue One, where they're going to that sort of outpost where things were getting done by Galen and obviously the Sinus on that planet. And we got to see them flying through canyons and stuff like that we haven't seen before. This one was similar. We got to see those two X-Wings flying through the clouds but deep into cover. I haven't seen that sort of footage since probably Cloud City with Luke.
Yeah, no, it was a very sort of Cloud City-esque thing. Even the X-Wings on the side of the Razor Crest before the whole chasing started happening. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I was thinking, Han with the cloud cars. how exactly did they do that with the X-Men thing? Was that the same thing as season one, where they had access to the Galaxy's Edge X-Men cockpit?
Maybe. I mean, it'd be cheaper for them to do it that way.
Well, yeah, and it's also not. It's also sadly not like Galaxy's Edge is getting that much activity.
No, that's right. Look, I mean, who knows? In another 12 to 24 months' time, hopefully with some type of way of curdling this, you know, blow with COVID, we'll be able to get back to the parks more.
Yeah, as opposed to this really awkward where the only one safe there is the guy in the very overheated Chewy mask.
That's right. Now, folks, if you're listening tonight, one of the big homages on this particular this episode in particular, is both two things. Empire Strikes Back a little bit when they're on the asteroid, when they're inside the animal. A little bit like that. Also a little bit of Dagobah there with obviously the animals and the spiders. Very reminiscent, obviously, and they are the design of Ralph McQuarrie's one that he did with Luke sort of exploring Dagobah. But also, this is very reminiscent of a movie but done by David Toohey, filmed out here in Australia, in South Australia. It is a Vin Diesel movie. It's called Pitch Black, and there's particularly the end sequence of this when the ship's taking off, the Razor Crest getting off and trying to get past these beasts. The same thing happens to the escape shuttle on the planet.
I was thinking Pitch Black. You know, it's funny. You know, we've had two episodes of Mando so far.
Yeah.
Both of which are kind of, pardon the pun, lukewarm at best. Wake me up when Rosario Sisoka shows up, would you? But because I will stay up till 3 a.m. to see that shit, okay?
Yeah.
But I will say this. We've had two episodes of Mando so far.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which are essentially not so much homaging Star Wars or playing with Star Wars as last season did. I kind of feel now, like a lot of it is doing what, you know, we saw Clone Wars and Rebels doing, playing with different genres of film, right?
Yeah.
But not doing it so subtly like movies of the past have done or present have done. Doing it rather overtly and obvious homages and ripoffs. And if you look at the first episode, what is it? Well, aside from a little Dune preview, it's essentially Tremors. You look at
it is actually.
You look at this episode. What is it? Arachnophobia.
Yeah, it is. I've got to say, folks, there is definitely that. It's been brought up by a couple of people that there's a Tremors feel for the first one. It's definitely there's kind of a. Arachnophobia is a damn good. Yeah, I've got to say that's probably the closest it is. And I think, too, you know, there's that Western atmosphere feat of kind of a little bit of 310 to humor in the way of pitting two people together, like obviously the Mandalorian and the Marshal together, Cobb Vanth, putting those two together that probably usually wouldn't be together on a job, but they've got a common thing that they've got to come together to do.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying for a while, this show needs to world build. This show needs to open the hell up, which it really didn't do last season. I don't mind the Lone Wolf and Cub. I think it was a great place to start for the fact that Lucasfilm has been talking about a live-action series since the goddamn 90s. I'm like, okay, this is a good starting point, but it's that. You're not quite there yet. And it's done that. It's opened up in certain areas, but it's also not really done the uniqueness of season one, which is you can open up your world, but also know where your goddamn focus is.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's a brilliant point. So
I can hear fans not liking me right now, but I'm like, I don't care anymore.
Look, at the end of the day, all that matters is that, you know, you enjoy what you do out of the series or not enjoy it. That's all up to you. It's all subjective.
Yeah, Exactly. Love what you love and hate what you hate. It's like, guys, I've been shouting this to you for 4 years on my shows. 10 years when you think I've been in this podcast space that long. And my God, you still don't understand it.
That's right. So
some of you still don't get it.
So obviously, you know, a part of what is this episode is... I suppose you could call it a warrior's creed, but I think the message to people at home out of this one is honoring your profession, being a professional, and not quitting.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. So, folks, I'm going to give this one out of 5. This is, for me, about a 4. It's actually a pretty strong episode from a character perspective, which is what I thought was lacking in the first episode. So, for me, it's a 2 out of 5 for the first one. Around about a 4 for me. I'm actually pretty sold on it.
I would put it... I'd give it a 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, look, if you didn't put the spiders in there and give me something impressive, I would have just been really irritated. I mean, at this point, the child is becoming a frustrating issue. I'm like, goddamn, Gideon, just get this kid and, take him back to the Emperor. Because honestly, I really don't think this kid, and again, kids are not going to like me for this because of the child merch, all the toys, whatever. I have one myself.
Yeah. Now look, we all get into it. And I think the thing is, look, Star Wars, you're gonna be things you like. Oh, wow. Listen to that, folks. Something's going on there.
Yeah. Well, we're watching election coverage, and obviously the child is pissed.
Yeah, nice, nice. So, you know, folks, again, the bigger thing is, you know, you're going to love what you love about Star Wars. There's going to be parts that you could probably go, oh, well. But everyone likes what they like, and that's the great thing about Mandalorian's got so much there that we all like to get into. So can't wait for episode 3. Looking forward to it. I'm actually pretty pumped. Now, quickly before we wrap tonight, I want to mention I've picked up the Kylo Ren comic, and I had a read of it this morning. It's actually beautifully drawn. It's obviously the story of how he fell to the dark side and how Snoke / Emperor Palpatine sort of seduced him. It's great. Really, really well put together. Didn't quite like the wrap-up, but that's part of, I think... wrapping it into Rise of Skywalker. The other one, I've got the Luke Skywalker Adventure book, which is now done in manga. So I'm going to read that and probably give a review on the next episode, which will be back in covering more Han Solo from the Brian Daley novels, folks, and the NPR radio dramas soon as well, too, because we're celebrating a bit of the past and I think a forgotten part that even the old canon from the 90s sort of glanced over as well.
But no, finishing my point with the child, I think this whole thing with Gideon, first of all, let me just say they've got to get back to that. I'm like, good grief. Could you get back to the characters that made this interesting? Grief Karga, Cara Dune, Moff Gideon, for God's sake. Could we get back to that?
Yeah.
No more of these sort of Star Wars Rebels knockoff type episodes. Could we get back to... Because what I wanted was season 2 to kick off exactly where we left off with Gideon. Because, I'm sorry, you get out of that crashed TIE fighter and I see the dark saber. Mm-hmm. I want to know more about that.
Oh, of course you do. Yeah, no, we all do. That's what we want to get back to, folks, and we will. It'll be there along with all the other stuff too. But
and you know the point with the child I want to make though is I think this child is a clone, and if you really follow through to the thread that leads to Rise of Skywalker, I know that's a trigger word for some of you fan flakes out there, but you know enough. Mm-hmm. If you really follow through here,
yeah,
right, we're in a very lawless time. That kid is kind of predestined to die at the hands of this whole clone thing Palpatine's doing,
yeah,
and his surrogates are doing, trying to create bodies, trying to create, what is it, Screencast, I think the nomination
called it. Yeah.
So I do not think this kid is like, you know, we see shirts and everything, the kid in Mandalorian armor.
Yeah.
That, I could tell you right now, those are nice, those are neat. I love the artwork, I love the idea, but you are more than likely not going to see that in the show.
No, of course not.
Okay. And with Moff Gideon, I have one theory about him.
And what's your theory?
What if, well, Moff would obviously be the title Palpatine grants him, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if he's Gideon Vizsla? What if he's a descendant of, a long descendant of Tar Vizsla, and there's actually Mandalorian blood in him?
Could be.
That would explain why a non-Mandalorian or why a human has that darksaber in the first place.
That's right. Now, before we wrap, we need to know where we can find you on the web, my friend.
Well, if you go to A Few Good Clones at podbean.com, all my shows are there. Fandom Awakens Radio, all the spin-off shows like Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, mm-hmm. when we're, you know, covering Rebels, the shows from last season for Mandalorian, the From Endor to Jakku, A Mandalorian Aftermath are up there. The other shows are up there. Marvel Cast or Smightiest Podcast.
Well, that's all we have time for here tonight on the Fantha from Down Under. And we'll catch you next time. Same place, same channel, and of course, with more Star Wars news in a single file from FanthaTracks.com's Australian edition. That's right. We'll catch you next time. So, until then, may the Force be with you and enjoy your Star Wars fandom. We'll see you next time.
Warning, no Tauntauns were harmed in the filming and recording of this podcast.
Coming up next on Fantha Tracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.